this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning!
Nothing to say.
Get up! I don't even know if you Knick fans went to sleep. Tough to sleep. Same thing for you Islander fans. Tough to sleep. What happened last night? What a crazy, crazy night for the Knicks. A brutal loss for the Islanders. But let's focus on the positivity. As the Knicks steal a game. As the Knicks go up 2-0, as the Knicks take one from the jaws of defeat down 5 points with 47 seconds left, a missed foul shot by Lowry leads to the sequence. And I think that's as we're going along here, it's becoming part of one of my favorite things about this whole thing is the amount of times I've read and heard and said the word sequence. It's going to be known as the sequence. One of the great endings to a Knick playoff game we've had in forever. I mean, it goes back to the LJ 4-point play has got to be the last time there's been a moment like that in the Garden where they've absolutely stole a game. And yes, they stole it. And it's because a lot of the things we saw in game one, we saw again in game two. Which was, namely, Brunson being awful. And that's what he was. And we don't have to sugarcoat it. Let's just be honest. All the things we thought about game one, or at least I thought, hey, Brunson was awful. Hey, how good can Embiid be this entire series? He's clearly dealing with that knee injury. He's clearly hampered by it. And he was again last night. Laboring up and down the court. Really could barely move, and yet offensively still effective, scoring 34 points. And Maxey, Maxey was incredible in game one. What are the odds those two things happen, along with Brunson being terrible, all those things coming together, and still the Knicks won. And yet the same circumstance where Maxey's unbelievably starts the game with three straight threes, he ends the game on fire, building it up to a 5-point lead, and yet the Knicks come back and steal one. And right now, the 76ers are beside themselves, and they're crying, and they're bitching about fouls, and they're complaining about timeouts that were missed, and they're complaining about everything you could possibly complain about, as well as guaranteeing victory. Embiid is out there guaranteeing victory after two games, after falling down 0-2 in arguably two games they absolutely should have won, especially last night. But there was something special in the Garden. And for that team to come through in that moment, and even Brunson, who was awful in this game, who's 8-for-29, and before the three-pointer in the beginning of that sequence, was 1-for-7 in the fourth quarter. He was just brutal in this game, and he's got to get better. There is just no way around it. Brunson has got to get better. But the surrounding pieces, whether it's Josh Hart early in the game hitting three-pointers to keep them alive as Maxey was going nuts at the beginning of this game. Whether it's Deuce McBride and Bogdanovich hitting big shots that built an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter. Whether it's DiVincenzo hitting the big three to give them the 1-point lead, or Hartenstein with the incredible rebound that leads to that three, and then the block shot on Maxey. I mean, Maxey's getting to the glass and scoring at will the entire series, both of these games. And in the biggest spot, Hartenstein comes up with a block at the end of the game to secure this victory. I mean, it's just everybody else has stepped up. And this team, and that's exactly what they are, this team has stepped up around its superstar who's really struggled. And watching Maxey and Embiid do what they do and having the rest of the Knicks team step up and do what they've done has really been a contrast in styles. And it's something that I'm hoping can continue moving forward in this series, but we know Brunson has got to be better. But what an incredible victory for the New York Knicks. And they are now up 2, heading to Philadelphia, trying to put a stranglehold on this series by taking one of two, taking all they need is one game in Philly and come back to the Garden up 3-1 to try and ice this thing. But just an incredible performance. An end of the game that was just unbelievable. The crowd was incredible. Just one of those great moments in Knick history. Really, one of the great moments in Knick history. Unfortunately, there's not many to compare it with in the last 30 years. So that's it. At the same time, the Islanders are blowing a 3-goal lead. I mean, just one of those crazy nights in New York sports. 877-337-6666. You can go back and hear the open if you want to listen to it. In the Odyssey app, go back and rewind. Started at midnight. We are now 4 hours into our 5-hour midnight ride, taking you all the way to 5 a.m. But just an incredible performance from the Knicks down the stretch. Never give up, never stop. So many moments in this game, whether it's McBride ripping the ball out of the defender's hands and then coming right back down the next possession, hitting a shot, and one. The different, you know, even Brunson had a big rebound and was throwing his elbows around before he got a ball out to Hart that led to a 3-pointer, or just everything about this team, all the different role players. But things change when you head on the road. Typically, role players play better at home. And this two-man team that is the 76ers are going to get a couple of better performances, and Jalen Brunson is going to have to be the superstar. So, yes, we're happy. Yes, we're excited. And, yes, that was an incredible ending that got us through flying high over the last 4 hours. But as you turn and look to Thursday, and not the NFL draft, but game 3 of this series, Jalen Brunson is going to have to be better. And I understand they're throwing double teams at him, and I understand it's led to other guys being open and stepping up, and they've done it, and it's got them 2 victories. But this Knick team was dragged to the 2 seed, not by its role players necessarily, and not by Hart hitting 3-pointers, but by Jalen Brunson being a superstar, and that has to change. 877-337-6666. Chris in the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know what? It's a real good time to be, you know, a fan in the city. You know, excited. Knicks fan, Ranger fan, excited for the draft Thursday. Hopefully, yeah. You know, Giants do the right thing. But, yeah, man.
Yeah, we got the Rangers tonight, obviously, looking for, you know, listen, this should be an easy series for the Rangers. I think game one showed you that. The Capitals are one of the worst teams to make the playoffs in recent memory, and there's no reason this shouldn't be a quick series. Obviously, a brutal loss for the Islanders. But, yes, right now, considering everything going on, this is about as exciting a time to be a New York sports fan as we've had in a while, and especially in the Garden. As both of these teams now look, especially going up 2-0 and the way they've done it, and still so many flaws and so many, you know, I just expect Brunson to be better. It's hard to imagine Philadelphia getting past these 2 games, especially complaining about everything and as mentally soft as they appear and be guaranteeing victory. It just seems so fugazi and so fake and so just throwing anything at the door, you know, anything up at the board and hoping it sticks. That just right now it feels like they're defeated mentally. And the Knicks need to come out on Thursday and put their, you know, foot on their throat and end this thing. And then, of course, the Rangers you feel great about. So, yes, exciting time in New York City.
This team is gritty. Brunson's going to get it together. I'm going to say 2 more things and I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
Popvin sucks. And bing bong, let's go Knicks!
Oh, man, you just said the 2 worst things ever. Oh, you just ended that phone call miserably. And I think, wasn't he the same guy who gave me the Giants should draft a quarterback? And, oh, no, that was Kevin and Hartford, right. When the way he said the Giants should do the right thing made me think it might have been him. No, you're right, Kevin and Hartford. That's terrible. I don't want to go on the Potvin sucks chant thing again. I don't want to do it, but it's the worst chant in all of sports. It's the worst. F. Altuve is I guess, slowly approaching it. But I'm sorry, it's 1 million years old. When they play the Islanders, fine. And I go, you want to throw it out now because the Islanders blew a 3-0 lead? Fine. Have your fun. You better hope, listen, Last year, you blew a 2-0 lead in a series against the Devils. Better make sure you get through the series, and I think the Rangers will. But, yes, the Pod Van sucks, Chan. Sucks. I hate it. I remember back when we used to get press credentials, going to a lot of Ranger playoff games. They're playing Game 7 to see who's going to go to the Stanley Cup. Or they, you know, and they're playing big games against the Penguins. They're playing big games against the Capitals. And because some idiot wants to prove he can whistle, I got to hear Pod Van sucks? Who cares? Honestly, who cares? If I mean, it's the equivalent of a Yankee-Astros game in the ALCS and someone just all of a sudden screaming, Carlton Fisk sucks. Why would I care? Why would I want that? I don't care. Oh, but he hurt the dirty hit on. No one cares anymore. I'm sorry. I know I'm raining on your parade. I know I don't like fights before. I don't like fights before the puck drops, and I don't like Pod Van sucks. Am I even a hockey fan? Stupid chant. Let's move on. Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you? Yeah, listen.
Let's listen. I'm gonna look ahead, Omar. You go. I'm gonna listen. I can't wait. Let's go.
Okay, my two things, listen. I'm a pumped up 2-0 lead, a tremendous comeback, but I got to put it in. If we want to win in Philadelphia, one of the two games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. We cannot have eight-man rotation. You got to give Josh Hart. Look at the last 10 minutes of this, his shot was so down. Can you give him 3-4 minutes? You have, which you have played too good during everybody was injured, that he can use that 5 or 10 minutes. That's why we have this, always, we were so close of blowing this game. Luckily that they have grit and do it, but 8-man rotation is not going to continue up to the NBA Finals. And you have the bench strength. And when he took out Bogdanović, he took 2 3-pointers. And Brunson was on the bench. Listen, we have to get real. Sometimes person is off. I am not saying that Brunson, but Bogdanović hit those 2, 3, 4. We have a 10-point lose, and everybody talks about Brunson without Brunson minutes. And these two games have won without Brunson. So when somebody is hot, don't come to me and do the rotation. If somebody is hot, big time shots. So let him play. Bogdanović is a big-time player in the playoffs. He has his shot is better, and everybody else is fine. He gets 8 or 10 minutes. If he's making a shot, come on. You play McBride. I know defensively Bogdanović is a little bit weak, but when you have 4 defensive players, and Brunson is sitting in the bench, and he's hot, and Brunson is cold, so let him get 1 or 2 extra minutes before he start blowing up or he started cranking up his shot. He has to do last year, same thing. People get tired of it. You have 10 men. Please bring up Pitua for 5-10 minutes and give Josh Hart a little bit. In the fourth quarter, he was tired. He has grit. He is a will. He is strong, character guy. He makes plays. But give him rest. He cannot do it 48 minutes every game. That's why you have 15-man rotation. Let's go, Knicks.
Oh, I love you, Omar. Thank you. Let's go, Knicks. I don't disagree with you. I know Boomer was talking about this in the open yesterday. I heard him on my way home about Achiuwa not playing. I get it. I mean, Achiuwa's been good for them. I have no problem with giving Achiuwa some minutes. And Bogdanović, he does hit the 2 threes in that moment, obviously, as they were building that 8-point lead in the fourth quarter. And I think that's a point you can look at and go, you know, Brunson's supposed to be the leader of this team. I mean, you could take out Hart instead of Brunson. I mean, instead of Bogdanović, if we can bring Brunson in the game, but the part of this game where they build an 8-point lead with Brunson on the bench and they bring him in, they bring him back into the game with 7.5 minutes and an 8-point lead, and they get to a point where they're down 5 and 40 seconds left in the game. I mean, that's a 13-point swing with Brunson on the floor. That's not supposed to happen, I don't care who's around him. And yes, Hart shot in the Hart kind of had. It's the story of two halves for him, shooting wise at least. In game one, he was ice cold to start the game and then finished strong with a flurry of threes at the end of the game that won them the game. I mean, it was as important as any other aspect of that game one. And then in game two, when they desperately needed it, while you know, Maxey was hitting the first threes of the game and they were running out to an early lead, Josh Hart hit four threes in the first half and then got cold in the second half. He's been playing these minutes for that long. He's that kind of guy who stays on the floor. I don't necessarily think you have to give him some more time, especially now you're not going to play for 3 days, right? You're going to be off 2 days. You're going to be off Tuesday and Wednesday. I think he'll be fine. I don't mind mixing in Achiuwa. I don't. But he's really the only. I mean, Burks was awful. I mean, you got Robinson. I don't think you need to mix Sims in there. Like, so you're talking about just adding Achiuwa to give a couple of more minutes to, you know, get Hart off the floor or Brunson off the floor for a little bit. But I haven't really noticed that as being a major factor. I haven't. Now, we'll see as the series goes along. You might be right. As they go along here and you get deeper into this series, and assuming it's a hard-fought series, assuming, you know, let's just say Philadelphia takes game three and it's 2-1. Do you want to have a little bit more of Hart on the bench and a little bit more fresh legs from him? But I didn't notice him bad at the end of the game. You're right, the shot wasn't there. And he passed up a couple, where really earlier in the game he didn't pass up any, and then in the second half in game one he didn't pass up any. But I don't know if I could just – I don't know if that's what scares me. Like, if they want to win these games, it's not so much expanding the bench. It's making sure Brunson gets going. That's it. To me, that's it. Brunson's got to get going. And I understand the point. Bogdanović did hit 2 threes there, and he took him out. That's fair. He was, up until that point, 0-for-4 in the game. But he had 2 threes. They built an 8-point lead. With Embiid on the floor, too. It wasn't like Embiid was off the floor during that time. That group, without Brunson, built up an 8-point lead, and then Brunson came in, and that's when they squandered it, which is a bad sign for me. And that would have been the conversation. Let's be honest. The conversation, if that game had gone the way most games go, when you're down 5 points with Lowry on the line looking to make it 6 with 47 seconds left, it typically ends in a loss. And the conversation is, Brunson's played the 2 worst games of the last 3 months back-to-back in the playoffs. How do they figure out how to break this idea that he struggles against the 76ers and they found some way to limit him? And how do they slow down Maxey, who absolutely tore them apart at the beginning of the game and the end of the game? That's the conversation I was prepared to have, was Maxey's playing like a superstar and Brunson is not. And the last 40 seconds changes that narrative in many ways, but it doesn't change the idea that that was the fact for 47 minutes and 20 seconds. So there's no doubt it has to change. There's no doubt Brunson has to be better. I don't know if mixing Achiuwa in is the difference in that, but I'm not opposed to it. Keeping in a guy who hits two three-pointers in a row in back-to-back possessions instead of removing him from the game, I get it. But when you bring in Brunson with an 8-point lead, you expect to expand on it, not have it whittle away.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pissed a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells, and the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 428. McMonagle with you, 877-337-6666. Let's get to as many calls as we can. I know you guys are excited to talk about this game. It was an incredible, incredible game last night. And, I mean, just what a finish. What a sequence. I do like that word. I'm not sure why, but I like saying it. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
You guys were all worried, concerned about not having Randall, about who our opponent was going to be.
Still
but
more.
My concern.
Still worried about not having Randall.
My concern was that Thibodeau wouldn't be the coach that could lead us with decision-making to an NBA championship. Because I already know, even with the role players, with the heart of this team, no pun intended, you know, we can win. I mean, the Celtics, that's the same thing. That's going to be a trick. That's going to be a tough one. But I really feel like we can go with anybody once Brunson gets going. But, like, if you remember last year's series with the Heat, Thibodeau just, I don't know, man, he gets out-coached. And, like, last night McBride was in at the end of the game for so long. And he can't guard. I watched him. He the only thing he can do is foul. That's it. He cannot guard anybody. So I think that was a liability.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree. I thought he did a pretty good job on he was able to keep up with the speed of Maxey probably better than anybody else on the floor in game one, I thought.
I'm talking about last night. I watched the last, I don't know how many minutes, my buddy kept blowing me up. Mm-hmm. He's been telling me for 3 months, McBride is great, he can score, but at the end of a game, he cannot be out. And I was like, why? So I started looking at it under a microscope, and he's right. I'm telling you, he's right. I watched last night, and he's going against superstars. And, yeah, he might stop the bleeding here and there, but, like, when it matters and those guys step up, he either has to foul or he gets beat. I'm telling you.
So, and, all right, so McBride's got to be off the floor. Who's the defender that has to be on the floor?
Was OG off the court at that point? I don't know if DiVincenzo was off the court. But you had, and then when DiVincenzo came in, you saw what he does. He's all over the ball, man, all over rebounds. He's a monster, man. I mean, I get it. You got to, you know, shuffle around minutes. But, like, just keep an eye on McBride moving forward, like, defensively and watch what I'm talking about. And have a great day, Chris. Take care.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. I'm surprised. I mean, McBride is kind of known as a defensive player. The question was his offense. And I thought he did a pretty good job on Maxey as much as you can. I mean, Maxey's been incredible, and he's extremely fast. Ananobi did a better job on him in game two than he did game one, but there's just no stopping him. And down, I mean, McBride hits the big shots. I mean, McBride goes after the ball and rips it out of the defender's hand and gets it back. McBride goes down the court, hits the shot, and one, hits the foul shot to give him an eight-point lead. I mean, McBride was on the floor as they built that eight-point lead in the fourth quarter. I didn't have a problem with McBride. I don't think he played 21 minutes. I don't think it was I don't think he was tired. I mean, I'm surprised. Are we really having a conversation about the coach right now? I know Omar is Omar, but are we really having a conversation about Thibodeau holding this team back right now? Because I don't see it. He took out Bogdanovich after he hit a couple shots. He played Hart all 48 minutes. That's typically what he does. This is what he's done all year. Yeah, okay, he mixed in Achiuwa more. He hasn't played Achiuwa at all in these first two games. To me, it's probably just a matchup thing, and if they take on what will, for me, probably be Milwaukee next series, you might see more Achiuwa or some Achiuwa as you move forward here. But to me, I don't look at anything other than the idea that, like, when I look at what's gone on here, I mean, he's played the hot hand a lot. I mean, in game one, McBride's the one hitting the shots. DiVincenzo didn't play. In this game, DiVincenzo was playing better, and to your point, he was all over the place defensively. He got four rebounds in the game. He had two steals, which was tied for the lead with Hart on the team. I thought he played well. He was a plus 11 in the game. DiVincenzo got more minutes in game two than he got in game one because he was playing better. Bogdanovich got more minutes in game one because he hit shots earlier on as opposed to being 0 for 7 before he hit the last two. Mitchell Robinson got you know, less time. He was, I didn't think he was as effective defensively, clearly, as he was in game one. And Hartenstein gave them something offensively. Like, I haven't seen anything that jumps out at me as some sort of Thibodeau stuck in his ways other than not playing Achiuwa and bringing Brunson back in. But if you're not going to trust Brunson late in the game, if you're going to tell me bringing Brunson in the game with 7.5 minutes is a problem now because they turned an 8-point lead into a 5-point deficit, Brunson comes through with the big shot. I mean, he's struggled and it's got to change, but you love the idea he keeps attacking and he's even, you know, he's willing to take that shot. He's not afraid from it. He doesn't run from it. He still takes that shot. He gets a lucky bounce. It goes in. And then is part of the reason they get the turnover on the inbounds because he's tugging on Maxey's shirt. And we're going to find out in the 2-minute report and we'll see what happens. But I mean, man, the bitching that's gone on from the 76ers. I mean, let's play some of that back. Let's hear Embiid both complain and tell us what's going to happen the rest of the way. And then, of course, the head coach talking about the timeouts, which is the particular one that bothers me. But here, here's Embiid after the game.
I hate to put the game on them, but I'm sure the 2-minute report is going to come out and, you know, we're going to see, you know, what happened. But, yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable. Yeah, that's not on them. That's not on any of us. We fought for 47 minutes and whatever, 20 seconds. And for that to happen at 4, that's not okay. We're going to win this series. You know, we're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
A guarantee. A guarantee of victory. That they're the better team. Now, they played better in this game for a lot of it, and they had a lead with 40 seconds left. They blew it. Like, this is on them. I hate this so much. And he said at the start of his complaining about it being unacceptable, he's like, I hate to put it on the refs, or I hate to put it on them. Yeah, don't. Then don't. You inbounded the ball. Maxey had the ball on the ground. Call a timeout instead of trying to throw it through a defender's legs for a pass. You guys, this is not new to you, blowing these series. It's not new to you. And right now, that's the biggest strength between these two teams right now is the idea that the Knicks are far mentally stronger. And at the end of the game, they have more options. Now, we'll see what happens when they head back to Philadelphia. You know, the old adage that the role players will play better in their building. And maybe we'll see. Maybe Oubre will play better, who has really done nothing. Scores 4 points in this game and 4 points in this game in 26 minutes. Harris scores 10 in 41. Lowry had a better game one than he had a game two, but he scores 8 points. I mean, the team is Maxey and Embiid. And Batum has the great game against Miami, but he's really done nothing in this series. The Knicks are a deeper team with more options down the stretch, and they played, you know, they were right there with him. They had an 8-point lead and blew it. But really, on the basis of Maxey hitting ridiculous threes, they had the critical call that was turned around and challenged on the foul on DiVincenzo on the rebound that gets overturned and leads them to a big basket, and then the 3-pointer from Maxey. But this is on them. Stop complaining. And that's and then the guarantee is laughable. If you see the video, he barely lifts his head up. I mean, it wasn't so much like it wasn't a very like stern guarantee. He's talking into his hands. It's just, you know, it's going to be I'm concerned heading in to Philadelphia because of what I've seen for two games now. Because after game one, I wasn't sure we could see the best out of Embiid, and I think we saw that for a lot of the game, even though he was laboring at times up and down the court, even though he looked winded and was leaning over and holding his knees and trying to catch his breath, we still got a 34-point performance from him. And, you know, offensively still looks pretty damn good, better than he looked against Miami. And right now, I don't know how they slow down Maxey. And honestly, I don't know how they slow him down. He's 5 for 11 from the three-point line. He's getting to the basket at will. And Brunson still hasn't played well. And now, as what I was willing to chalk up as a poor performance in game one, now I'm starting to look at how he's played consistently against Philadelphia, some of the things they're doing. And the idea, I mean, I don't dismiss it. The added pressure he put on himself with, you know, putting out the Players Tribune letter to the fans. I mean, it made sense. It was a great sentiment. He gets it. I loved reading it. I appreciate him for it. But, you know, the idea that now he's connected himself to this fan base and the team, and it's he's put it out there, and we're gonna have fun. I'll see you Saturday. I can't wait. Like, he can't come out and play poorly. And for two games, he has. And I understand the double teams, and I understand the idea he's getting blocked from behind, and they're doing different things to make his life more difficult. And I think early on in the game, he was taking bad shots in hopes of just hitting a few and getting into a rhythm. And it backfired on him, and he struggled, and he's put up some real bricks. I mean, he's put up some real bad shots. But he's got to be far better, and they got to figure out a way to slow down Embiid and Maxey, at least offensively. Just have to. Because they're going to get more from their role players once they get home in their building in front of their fans. That's typically what happens. You're going to see more out of Harris, Oubre, and Batum. You're going to see more. And the Knicks better be ready for it.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You know, for all their complaining, me and Fleeks are just talking about it off air. I mean, if you look at that last sequence, again, I love that word sequence, saying it a lot. In that last sequence where the Knicks score 6 points to take the lead, and the complaining about the fouls, which if you look back, and you're seeing it all over Twitter now, if you look back, the refs allowed a little bit of hands and a little bit of tugging on almost every inbounds, both ways. There's videos of both the Knicks and the 76ers, you know, probably doing a little bit of extracurricular to make the inbound pass difficult. And they allowed it even in the tight moment there. But there's a couple of things in that sequence that Philadelphia has got to know the Knicks are looking for and how the Knicks operate and what they do. And they can complain all they want about the fouls. But here's the bottom line. Okay, Brunson hits the three. That's fine. Brunson hits a three, hasn't shot well this series. It's off the front rim, goes in, fine. They get the ball stolen off the inbound. You know the inbound's going to be tight. You got to be prepared for it. Can't throw a bad pass. Better to call a timeout. Once Maxey's on the floor, don't try and make a ridiculous pass laying sideways on the ground. Call a timeout. But even after that, DiVincenzo gets a decent look at a three. And you know what they do. The Knicks rebound. So you want to complain about the refs? How about not boxing out and allowing Hartenstein to come roaring down the middle of the lane for an easy offensive rebound? And then, up two, how about not making sure you're defending DiVincenzo, who already put up the other three-pointer in that possession. You know that's where they're going. Instead of allowing him to stand right there at the top of the key for a good-look three, how about making sure you defend? How about taking a little accountability? The only guy who did was Maxey. But you want to complain, one, don't let Hartenstein get an offensive rebound. Understand you are dealing with the best offensive rebounding team in the NBA, and make sure that shot doesn't, they don't get a second opportunity, and let alone let him come running down the middle of the lane untouched for an easy offensive rebound, and then don't allow the best shooter on the floor, who made all these threes this year, to be open at the top of the key. Look inward, my friends. Look inward. And then don't complain about timeouts that the refs did or did not see, like the head coach spent his postgame complaining about, as we hear right here in the postgame show.
They score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me, went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started, and yeah, I mean, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But
jumping jacks, pull your pants down.
Needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it. He saw me calling timeout. I just watched the film just to make sure, and I'm clearly calling timeout. I didn't see if he looked at me in the film, but I could see me clearly calling timeout twice.
Well, I guess you were just focused on yourself on the film, because if you realize where you are and what's going on the court while you're attempting to call timeout, you would realize your team is no longer in possession of the basketball. Maybe take a look at it again, because this is really the bad one for me. It's just not true. If you watch the highlight, his hands are hovering above his head. He never gives you the emphatic timeout and pounding his hands together while the ball is being inbounded. Not. He doesn't do it. His hands are hovering, waiting for the timeout. Then when the ball is inbounded, he even brings the hands back like, oopsies, I didn't mean to call anything. Never mind. When the ball gets inbounded. Then Maxey goes to the floor, and that's when he starts to run at the referee to call a timeout. Because he assumed Maxey would hold on to the ball longer. But as he turns his body and head to go look at the referee to give him the timeout, he doesn't realize that Maxey has already thrown the ball away. And you're not going to get a timeout while the ball's rolling on the ground. So go back and rewatch the film, Nick. Bunch of crybabies. Even LeBron gets into it. LeBron, who had his own disaster of a game, blowing a 20-point lead to the defending champs, missing a three-pointer in their last possession and allowing Denver to come down and beat them with a last-second shot and Jamal Murray to hit a game winner. And in his post-game, he's complaining about officiating, and he's complaining about official reviews, and he even throws in the Knicks, that he watched what happened to the Knicks. What the hell is going on here? You have that one too, Fliegelman? Why not, since we're playing all the sound? Let's roll LeBron James.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. I'm sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like... And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game, too. What are we doing?
I don't know. What are we doing? We're playing basketball. What are you doing? And what the hell is that? Worry about your own game. What are you comment? I don't even know what you're talking about. Honestly, I don't know. What are you referring to? A lot happened. It was quite the victory. It was one hell of an end to the game. I think he meant what happened in Carolina. I think that's what he meant. Like, what the hell are we doing in Carolina? That makes more sense. What are we doing blowing three-goal leads? What are we doing allowing two goals in 9 seconds? You must have meant Carolina. Because I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened in the New York-Philadelphia game. Except the Philly blow it and the Knicks pull out an amazing victory. Corey in Brooklyn. What's up, Corey?
What's going on? How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. So, full disclosure, I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm not a Sixers fan. I'm just a basketball fan in general.
Oh, an independent basketball observer.
Pretty much. So, in reality, let's be honest here. If that is Maxey in Philadelphia, do you not think Maxey is getting a foul called in that position?
When Maxey got his jersey pulled?
Jersey tugged.
Yeah.
Jersey tugged, pulled to the ground, ball scrambled. Do you think in that situation in Philadelphia, he's not getting a call? If that was Brunson instead of Maxey.
Well, I mean, listen, I got videos right now on Twitter of Brunson having his jersey tugged as he's trying to get to an inbound pass.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
And with no foul call.
Every call. And I'd rather play off basketball like this where they're not making every single call like they do.
Right.
Okay. But let's be honest here.
I will tell you that Brunson got some calls. If
the situation was reversed and it was Brunson and all this stuff happened and the Knicks happened to lose the game, would you be saying nothing happened, nothing's going on? Come on, let's be honest here. You know?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have to play such mental gymnastics. I get to watch the game and under the circumstances in which they happened tell you what happened. But I will tell you this. Let me just say this. I have not got on a single sportscaster. I have not gotten on a single fan. I have not gotten on a single person on Twitter making an excuse for the 76ers. I have not. So what would I do? It doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what I would say if Brunson in the post game said, oh, I was fouled and this is nonsense and they should look at it and I can't wait for the 2-minute report and I guess we'll find out. I would call him a baby.
And be the baby.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Do I think there was a jersey pull? Yeah. Do I think if a foul was called that all of us would probably be, you know, slightly disappointed but understand that a foul was called? Yes. But it wasn't, and they're the ones crying, so I'm getting on them.
Remember that Piston game? Remember that Piston game when DiVincenzo got smashed and everybody was freaking out that a whistle wasn't blown and the Knicks lost the game? But in reality, I agree with you.
But nobody got smashed here.
But I agree with you what you said before. In reality, the play continued, and Maxey never moved. He got up off the ground slow.
Right.
And he was a little stuck at the very end. He was stuck because he was between DiVincenzo and Brunson, and it's pick your poison at that point. It's either run at Brunson, it's running DiVincenzo, let DiVincenzo pass it to Brunson for another open three who just hit one, or let DiVincenzo, you know, who just bricked the three, shoot another wide open one. So he kind of was stuck, but he never even moved.
Yeah.
So he can't complain. At the end of the game, he said, yeah, it's on me, like, whatever.
He's the only one who took accountability, and that's why I haven't gotten on him. And I'm not, and again, this isn't, I'm not saying that, oh my God, everyone in Philadelphia needs to shut up. It's clearly not a foul. What I'm saying is the 76ers have their own issues they could look to as opposed to complaining about not getting timeouts and complaining about.
Everybody, every game there is. And listen, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I hate Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, listen. If the roles were reversed, I think maybe your opinion would be a little different if it was Brunson going through that situation.
I definitely don't think it would be. I don't think my opinion would differ. I would say you could still guard Maxey and don't let him hit that three-pointer that killed him. That's what I would say. Would I say he was fouled? Sure. Would I be more harping on the idea that the Knicks did not get the call than I am harping on the idea that the Sixers didn't get the call? Sure. But my opinion wouldn't change if the Knicks went out there in the post game and went out there and made a bunch of excuses instead of saying, I shouldn't have allowed the offensive rebound, or I shouldn't have thrown the ball away, or I should have called a timeout while I was laying on the floor, or I should have taken the shot myself instead of throwing the ball to Embiid 5 feet away, 5 feet behind the three-point line for him to take the shot. I thought Maxey had for as great as he was all day, the end of the game for him is pathetic. He's on the floor and throws it away. And then after getting to the basket and getting the shot blocked, that happens. I mean, he's gotten to the basket at will. He gets a shot blocked by Hartenstein. It's more of a great play on him. But then after the Anunoby foul shots, down three, they don't foul. They allow them to come down and look at a three. And instead of trying to create his own three-pointer, he just throws the ball to Embiid standing there, covered, 5 feet behind the three-point line himself. I was like, what the hell is he going to do? I have no idea why he passed that ball to Embiid. That was just terrible. That's what they should be talking about, because he had an opportunity to put up a shot himself. Yes, it would have been a long three, just like the one he hit to put them up 4 points a minute ago. So would I be saying, hey, the Knicks were fouled? Yeah, maybe. Would I be harping on that? Sure, we're Knicks fans, it's New York. But if the Knicks went out there and made excuses and sounded as pathetic, and Josh Hart got on the microphone and guaranteed victories, I'd be killing the Knicks. I'd be saying, stop making excuses. You did tug on his jersey. They called a foul. Or vice versa. Hey, they haven't called that all game. Get over it. Go out there and defend and rebound like you've done all year. That's what I would say. That's what I would say. And I feel like I've said a lot over the last 5 hours, and now I don't have to say any more. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you so much for listening. What a night. What a 5 hours recapping it. We get ready for the Rangers tonight. Let's go, Rangers. We want the cup. Big game. Make sure we put this series behind us quickly. We got baseball as well. And we look forward to the NFL draft and game three in both the Knicks and Islanders series on Thursday night. But I got you tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. The warm-up show is next. Fliegelman, thank you. Everybody enjoy your Tuesday. I'll see you tomorrow. 101.9 FM.